runasradio.com. You're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell and Greg Hughes. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 186 with guest Jeremy Moskowitz, recorded Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow the boys on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell. I'm at Dev Connections, or maybe we should call it IT Connections because we're doing the IT side of things in Las Vegas. And with me, my friend, Jeremy Moskowitz. How are you, Jeremy?
I'm loving this. Is one of my favorite shows to do.
Is it got a good buzz or what?
You know, what I like about this show, you know, I do a lot of shows. You do. How many miles do you have? Do you have like 8 billion miles?
I have enough miles that you know, the stupid part, of course, is you fly enough that you never want to fly, right? My idea of vacation is staying home.
Yeah. No doubt. You can call that a staycation.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I like about this show is like people are here and they're hungry for like,
yeah,
not only like the Vegas food, of course. Hungry for the Vegas food here is fantastic. But, you know, hungry for more stuff. They want to get deeper into stuff that they do know already, and they also want to cover new ground that they don't know, too, which is kind of fun.
The best measure I've got, you know, a conference is really rocking when you see clusters of people in the hallway hammering on a problem. But this seems to be a metric for me that whenever you see that effect where people are out of the session room, they're collaborating.
The geek
on
molecule, that's what I call
it. Yeah,
that.
It's you little hums of activity.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see the conference. I mean, it's big. There's 3,500
across all the shows,
yeah,
right?
Here. Yeah. So it's nice to see conferences back after a tough couple of years.
Tell me about it.
And they really seem to be excited. So good things going on. What have you been talking about?
So at this conference, let's see if I got my... If I got it straight, I just got done with a talk on killer group policy tools you never heard of,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a fun talk, new one for me. And then tomorrow I do App V101, you know, for application virtualization.
Okay.
It's like one of those things that people like, they hear about it, they think they know about it, but then like they get into it, they're like, what? That's what it does? So that's what my talk is tomorrow
on
that. Yep. And then the last one is Desktop Smackdown, Your Action Plan.
Which desktop are you smacking? Are you trying to just lock down an
app? Yeah,
desktop
locking
properly?
Down desktops, right? Because, you know, I love group policy.
Yeah, you're a group policy guy.
It's just what I love. I could talk, you know, I feel like I could talk about more stuff, and I do often talk about AppV.
Well, I think AppV is very compelling.
At the next conference, I'll talk about other things. But I love group policy. I have like this love affair with it for a lot of reasons. I mean, I get people who come up to me all the time, and mm-hmm. they say, you know, like a guy just at the end of my show, he goes, how can I convince my boss that I should get smarter in this group policy stuff? I said, okay, how quickly could you run around and insert activity here? You know, because at the end of the day, if you want to deploy software, deploy shortcuts, manage security, you know, if you don't have the group policy 101 stuff,
right,
you can't be a good security administrator. Let me say that again. You can't be a good
Actually,
you can't be a great security administrator if you're not at least a good group policy and Active Directory administrator.
This is the thing that's basically going to let you know what's going on. I just had a conversation with a friend of mine who does real IT as opposed to me who plays.
Yeah.
Who's talking about the fact that one of his employees brought a USB key in with a crack generator for some app.
Love it.
And his security software immediately popped up on policy and he was immediately notified. And the funny part is he went over to talk to the guy and he's like, you know, you're not supposed to bring that stuff into the office.
Well, that's good. I mean, the in-the-box mechanism, there is something like that in group policy land.
Right.
You could say, look, if I'm running a Windows 7 machine, then there is a policy that says allow this type of USB stick and not this other type. Now,
wait,
this is why this is super cool, right? So let's say you declare at your company, you only want to allow, I don't know, you know what those iron keys are? You ever hear these things? Iron keys? So iron keys are fun. They're USB sticks, but they're always encrypted and mm-hmm. they're tamper proof. And what's fun is that if you type the password in, like I think it's 10 times wrong, they go and catch fire.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if smoke or whatever.
It's very get smart.
Yeah. I don't know if the smoke actually show, you know, whatever. But the point is that they actually self-destruct.
Wow.
Now, wait. Now, let's take that back to the 20-yard line. So you say no USB sticks at our company except for, and I'm using Iron Key as an example. I'm sure there are other third parties mm-hmm. that are very similar. But you can say only Iron Keys. And then what you're really doing is you're saying, look, we can allow USB sticks because we know that we're going to use these tamper-proof, always encrypted, right. highly secure devices.
But you'd also put a policy in place that the moment a USB key goes in, it gets scanned, stuff's validated. I think he was using a third-party security product to have that happen.
That sounds more right. The stuff that's in the box is more about like this stuff good, this other stuff bad,
right.
as opposed to like some kind of like, and if you really, I mean, with enough elbow grease, man, you know, anything's possible.
Sure.
But by way of example, you could, I think there's an event ID that's generated. And if you, like I said, you put enough elbow grease on it, you could probably get an alert or get an email or get something that starts up and then alerts you that somebody did something they right. shouldn't be doing. I don't know if this is what this guy was doing or not, but that's the in the box way that you would sure. do something like that.
So one of the things that I've run into with group policy, and maybe you have some good answers to this while I got you sitting here,
sure.
is this whole, all right, I plug in the USB key and it gets refused.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out what policy is actually refusing it.
Well, I think one of the things that people need to do is go way back. I'm talking way back to the 20-yard line when it comes to troubleshooting. Here's mm-hmm. the here's the mistake that everybody makes. This is one of those blow-your-face-off moments.
Yeah.
It's know what you're supposed to get before you start troubleshooting. Oh, wait, I know it's a mind blower because what most people try to do, they go right over to the machine and start trying to troubleshoot the crap out of it. And
right.
that is not the goal. Because let's say you had a policy set in place to do XYZ thing. And we could use this USB stick thing or we could just talk about it in general.
Sure.
If somebody says that I got a policy I shouldn't be getting or I didn't get something I should be getting, in other words, I expected the shortcut to be there and that shortcut's not there.
Right.
Let's use that as an easier example.
Yeah, a little softer.
Yeah. So we walk over to the machine and do you know what GPOs are supposed to be on that machine?
Yeah. How would you know? And of course, and they're specific to the user and group
computer
and so forth.
Right. Yeah. So in other words, the computer side gets some, mm-hmm. the user side gets others.
Yeah.
So the question is, are you the IT person aware of precisely what the target machine and user configuration should look like mm-hmm. before you get started? And I think that's really critical because, yeah, there are lots of utilities. Like my favorite is GP result. You run GP result on the target machine. You can see all the GPOs that you got.
Right.
That's great. But if you don't know what to expect,
yeah.
you won't know what to look for. Does that make, it's a little bit heady.
I get that point, but how do I keep the records of what my expected results are going to be?
Well, I think this comes down to good planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I think what happens is that, you know, like a lot of things in IT, we like to do stuff as opposed to document stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, this is a heavy lifting proposition. I'm just saying, you know, while you're configuring your group policy stuff, it's in a way kind of self-documenting mm-hmm. on the one hand, and in another way, not self-documenting. Here's the example. Like when you edit and create a new GPO, the settings report will express what you did inside. Mm-hmm. That's great, but that doesn't tell the whole story.
Right.
The whole story is what your sum total of all the group policy settings you got on the target machine would
right.
be. And that's a little bit harder. And there are routines to do that as well, and that's totally great. But regardless of the stuff that's in the box, I like to map it out on paper.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think about when Sally is on computer 12, when the computer 12 starts up, what GPOs does it get? And when Sally roams from machine to machine, what does she get?
What follows her?
Yes. And now that I know that, troubleshooting becomes, well, almost, if not a no-brainer, a heck of a lot less impactful on my
brain. So I'm going back to your scenario, and I'm after Sal's complaining that shortcut didn't show up when
sure.
she went to that machine.
Yep.
So is my first reaction send it to another machine, see if it shows up there?
See, my first reaction would be to go right to my documentation.
Right, check it.
She's reporting a problem.
Yes.
Does she actually have...
Is she supposed to have that shortcut?
Right, now that shortcut could be there because some piece of software installed it. That
right.
software could be there because she right-clicked and created a shortcut.
It was never part of a policy in the
That's
first
right.
place.
That's right. Okay, so we get people who they pick up the phone, and I don't know if you know the numbers, like you know, if you've read the same crap I do, but like it costs you $22 just to pick up the phone,
right?
Right, the Help Desk Institute or whatever those guys are. You know, $22 just to pick up the phone. It's like another $62 to run out to the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Are we fixing a problem we need to?
Yeah.
And then it's like another $100 to smoke it. So now we're like, we add all this up. It's like costing us a fortune when really there was no policy
in the first place. Yeah.
That right.
So start with making sure there's actually a policy.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there an IT directive to do this thing you're after to do?
Yeah, to put that shortcut in place. And then from there, we start thinking about.
Right. Now, now you've got a whole bevy of options at this point. So the first, I would consider myself to be in the minority of the tool that I like to use. Like I mentioned it a little earlier. I'll just say it again for fun. It's the GP result tool. Okay. I love GP result. I think it's great. I tend to want to troubleshoot a machine actively, but you know, that's just me. Some people want to walk up to a machine like I do. Mm-hmm. Other people want to, you know, not have to get up from their desk.
Right.
That's okay too. There's not a right or a wrong answer.
That guy.
Yeah. Well, we've all been that guy.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we have a lot of problems out there and our users are going to pull us by the ear and make us do more work for them. So you could either walk up to a machine and run GP result, and GP result will tell you, well, two things. The first thing it tells you is what we just talked about, what GPOs you did get, what you didn't get actually, maybe something was filtered out, or maybe there's a security problem, or maybe some other access denied thing that is unexpected. You'll learn that right away using GP result. You can also do this stuff remotely using the group policy management console.
Oh, okay.
But PS, okay? That only works provided something special is true. Now, I'll give you, should I quiz you? What has to be true in order for me to remotely get something from your machine?
I'm thinking I need a certain number of policies in place to have remote access to the machine.
Close. It's not remote access. It's simpler than that. It's simply I need to have the correct holes poked into your firewall.
Right.
Right? Since XP Service Pack 2, we've had that crazy firewall thing turned on all the time. Mm-hmm. If I say, what's going on Richard's machine? Richard's machine is going to give me the whole, like, talk to the hand symbol.
Right.
If the firewall is on. Now, I'm not saying that everyone should turn the firewall off. To the contrary.
This is holes you can poke in the firewall.
Holes you can poke in the firewall specifically to make that magic happen. And as you might expect, of course, there's a policy setting to make that happen.
Interesting. And is that policy setting include adjusting the firewall for you?
What's your question
again? So if I turn on the policy to allow remote viewing of policies.
Yes. Yep.
Does that actually open up the firewall as well?
Yeah. It's actually the other way around. The firewall, the actual policy setting is something like allow remote access something like that. And the point is that when you open it up, the two magic ports open up, and then in doing so,
that the firewall
group policy results reports work because the firewall has the right holes poked.
Right. So you're not actually going in and manually setting the ports in the firewall. You're setting the policy on the machine to allow that.
That's exactly right.
The firewall.
You could do it manually. There just happens to be a policy setting specifically to open up those two magic ports, which I think is 135 and 445. If my brain is working today, I could be wrong. But the idea is that if you open up those ports, that's the magic that has to happen.
Okay.
And there's a policy. It's like that phrase. There's an app for that. There's a policy setting for that. You know? That should be my new blog. There's a policy setting for that.
Now, it's one thing to try and get an existence of something like, I want the shortcut to appear on the desktop. The bigger one I run into is I'm being denied doing something.
Well, okay. Here's where we got to reframe our brain.
Okay.
This is good. I'm really glad you asked that question. So one of the things that when I teach my group policy training course, the very first thing that's non-technical that I try to go over is group policy is never, this is a heady one, it never removes anything. No. It's always the act of delivering a gift, and the gift you get removes stuff. Okay?
You are the group policy Santa. I'm getting that.
Yeah. Ho, ho, ho. Hopefully this will go out at the right time.
Yeah, here's a gift that takes stuff away.
That's right. It's like the tooth fairy.
Okay.
Right? The gift is you get something taken away.
Yeah. But something else gets put back in its place, presumably.
Yeah. So that's the idea. So group policy, if you're ever trying to troubleshoot group policy stuff, I always suggest don't think about it in terms of what it's removing. Think about it in terms of what you're giving, which comes back to what we were talking about earlier. If you look at the results report and you see in the results report, I got this GPO that had this wish that I wanted to do this XYZ thing. Mm-hmm. And the action is that it removes run off the start menu.
Right.
You're good. If you don't have the GPO at all, then the thing never occurred.
Right.
So at the end of the day, group policy troubleshooting is really about what policy GPOs did I get and what policy settings inside the GPO did I get.
Right.
That's it. It's all about what I got, not about what the result is on the target machine. The result could be I'm delivering a shortcut. The result is I'm removing runoff start menu. The result could be I'm killing the control panel.
Right.
It's not about removing. It's always about the act of getting a gift.
Doing something.
Yeah.
I guess where this gets complicated is when we get several packages of policies going together and they conflict with each other.
That is true. Okay, great. Good point. And again, the way that I would do this, this is not even a tricky bit. It's just a new thing. You could run an HTML report, a GP results HTML report. I think it's as simple as GP results slash H, like out.html, you know? And then you look at that report, and what you'll notice in the settings report is this, if there is a conflict between GPO1 and GPO2, you should see what's called the winning GPO.
So it's actually going to highlight that these two policies are conflicting and this is the one that won?
It's not exactly that special, but on the policy setting level, on the policy level, you'll see that if you have kill the control panel here and bring it on back over there,
right?
Well, it should express that one particular GPO is the winning GPO against another one. And you should be able to put two and two together.
Typically,
to
like
it
the
out.
Last one applied.
The topmost one, the one floated up to the topmost wins, yeah.
In the report.
Yep.
Now, you've basically been dancing around. These are free tools we've been talking about so far, right? GPU result is part of the package.
Yep.
But if we're willing to spend a little money here, there are products that make this a heck of a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm going to just pitch somebody's stuff. Is that okay?
Okay, I'm fine, yeah.
Yeah.
That just folks should know.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot of great stuff, and none of this stuff is my stuff. My stuff is what my stuff does at Policy Pack, by the way, is it will deploy application settings to your applications and operating systems.
Okay.
So it's not for troubleshooting; it's for managing your applications and operating systems.
Right.
What I want to deal with troubleshooting stuff, my buddy Darren Marelia, who's a group policy MVP like me, he runs a company called SDM Software, and he's got like two or three or four things that just wrestle group policy troubleshooting to the ground. He's got this thing called the Group Policy Troubleshooting Pack, which I think it not only does it like enable more logging and all sorts of fun stuff, but actually puts a little widget in like the tray toolbar so you know you got the latest, greatest group policy stuff. So somebody calls you up and says, I don't think my group policy is working. Your group policy is slow. You can just double click it and get some data right there on the phone with them. I think
so
that's
something you can point the user to remotely to immediately say, tell me what this says.
Yeah, right. Tell me what's going on over
there.
Right.
It'll give you a sense of it. You are getting policy, the network, you know, the WAN connections work correctly, all that stuff. You have a current set of policies. We know all those things are in place.
Yeah, how great is that? Where, in other words, group policy is supposed to kind of be mysteriously working underneath the hood at all times. But if you're trying to troubleshoot something, you might need a little extra juice to figure out what's going on. And I think his troubleshooting pack at SDM Software is probably
not that I'll hold you to it, but roughly how much?
I actually don't know.
Okay.
I get a free version. So I'm not sure. And it's actually been a little while since I've personally used it. I'm sure it's gone through upgrades and updates and things like that too.
But it's good to know that there's some products out there that'll help you with these problems.
Well, you know, we could talk about troubleshooting from another perspective, actually.
Sure.
Like Microsoft, they have a product called AGPM, which stands for Advanced Group Policy Management.
All right.
And it's sort of a workflow tool. Like I create the GPO, you make sure it's kosher, and your buddy checks it in play. Okay?
Interesting. Yeah.
So it's like a round robin workflow management tool.
This feels very enterprisey that I have three people who know anything about group policy.
All three of us have to say to blow up the ship at the same time.
Yes.
Kind of thing. So long story short, what you get out of this is every change into group policy is checked in and checked out.
Okay.
So if you know something was checked in and it exploded last week, like the calls about the control panel started coming in this week.
Right,
what happened?
Right on there.
You look into the GPO and look in the history. You're like, Fred did this thing he shouldn't have done, and here's what he did, and here's the change.
Yeah, it had unintended consequences, and you could roll it back. That's the policy
you
we need to back
up. You can roll it back.
So this is very much almost source code control for GPU.
It is. It's source safe for group policy.
There
exactly right. Now, P.S., there's not just Microsoft. There's also NetIQ that does that. Mm-hmm. ScriptLogic does that. Quest does that. And there's actually probably others too.
When we get into regulatory compliance scenarios, we need a clear audit trail for a bunch of these things.
This is very common. Mm-hmm. Actually, less common for the U.S., than for other places. I've heard that people in other countries will tend to use this source safe style for group policy stuff. In other countries, it's caught on here in the US. It's a big deal, but it's not like for the regulatory compliance part, it's less a big deal here than it is overseas.
But so it's just keeping a clear record of what got changed by whom and when.
Yeah. I mean, that's it. Provided you use the system, right? There's as an admin,
We could always walk around it. Yeah.
Always walk around it. So, if you are going to implement a tool like this, and I think it's a great idea, and I think everybody should do it if they need it, slash they have problems and they feel like they want to roll back or any of the things these tools can do.
I think the rollback feature alone is the big thing. How many times have we done a group policy that just burned us. And it's not so much that we did something, it's unintended consequences.
There's no are you sure button.
Yeah. Well, and even if there is, you're always going to say yes because
we are so smart.
Well, and also because the alternative is it doesn't do anything.
Well, there's no, you click enable and then you close the GPO. And a question I get from a lot of people are, where was the save? And there is no save.
Yeah.
It's just you click enable and zzz, it's spinning around your AD world.
And there is a propagation time. So often actually seeing the impact of GPO on all of the users in the environment takes a while.
Well, let's talk about that too. So let's say you have a group policy object, mm-hmm. you create it and it has 10 things that you want to do, which may be fine. I have a whole philosophy around that, but let's say that it does 10 firewall things,
right?
You're wrapping up one wish and it's 10 firewall things.
Big bundle of firewall changes for a new set of apps going out.
That's it. Okay.
Okay.
You're in the middle of change 4 and your boss calls you into his desk. To his workspace. And then you now got called away from the middle. You're in the middle of this thing. You got called away.
Yeah.
4 out of those 10 changes are now whizzing around. I think we can agree that it's not a complete wish.
Right.
That's been. So now what are you going to do? Well, if you use this style of check-in, check-out workflow management stuff, what do you get? You can now say you're going to create the GPO offline.
Mm-hmm.
And then because it's offline, it's not really live yet.
Right.
Only after you're complete will you deploy it.
Right.
And once it's deployed, you can actually, you know, use it.
But presumably you'll take an opportunity to take a machine that's isolated from the network in some way and test that set of policies and see how it behaves.
Well, it's totally true. You would do that. And the idea is that you could actually change where it's linked just to make things easier. Mm-hmm. And then after you, but still, the idea is that you're checking in and out your changes.
Right.
And you're also doing it as an atomic action. I think you programmer types love that term, atomic action.
That's database guys too.
I have a computer science degree. I was at the bottom of my class, yeah. But I
Where
have a computer
did you go
science
wrong,
degree.
Jeremy?
I did.
You started out on the wrong path.
I did. I did. I'm sorry. I'm like just like not a great programmer. But yeah, I remember. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the idea. You create the GPO atomically,
right.
And then you check
roll
it,
out.
And then you roll it out. So it's
and good. Typically it takes a while to be applied. I mean, this is as much AD synchronization as anything else.
Right. It's a two-factor thing. Factor one is how fast can it whiz around to all your domain controllers.
Right.
Factor two is how quickly your computer say, "Hey, buddy, what do you got that's new for me?"
Anything new?
Yeah, and that happens between 90 and 120 minutes.
Right.
So you could be sitting there for a long time, and that's actually, you know, I just got done with this talk called free GPO tools you never heard of.
Right.
And one of the tools that's in there is this tool called SpecOps GP Update. Okay, and SpecOps GP Update. And the corresponding tool in PowerShell is also Darren's tool. Just to give everybody plugs everywhere, Darren has a tool called RGP Update for remote GP Update, and that's a PowerShell tool.
Mm-hmm.
Both of these tools have the same aim, which is push the big red button.
Right.
You want this thing to happen now, you push the big red button and kapow.
I don't wait for synchronization to go on and so forth. I am invoking everywhere.
Well, the synchronization part probably has to happen first because the directive has to get to the domain controllers,
right.
But then your client computers are now being told, you, 10,000 computers.
Go get my policy.
Go get it.
Yeah.
Right. Now, of course, 10,000 computers, got to make sure you hit the right domain controllers.
Nice little network storm you got going there.
Right. So you just
DDoS'd yourself.
Wow.
Good on you.
That's good job. So that's a...
But I think there's an interesting part here of when do you know the policy has finished being applied?
Well, that's always been a little bit of a mystery. So
yeah.
The idea is, once again, I'm sure Darren's GPO troubleshooting tool will tell you the last time. Other than that, you kind of have to expect that group policy is, in fact, always working.
Right.
When it comes to like master logging, there is no kind of one-stop shop logging world for that. If you wanted to do that, you could roll your own. I would say that 99 out of 100 times group policy does just work.
Yes.
And you do unfortunately have to kind of count on users going, hey, that shortcut isn't there.
Right.
And then you got to go to your troubleshooting technique.
Yeah, look for your exceptions. I mean, it'd be interesting to set up a policy that did some kind of check-in at the end to let you know this machine finished with that set of policy applications.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if some enterprising third-party tool were to create
along those lines. And this backing all the way up on this was this conversation, this idea of certainly I've had this experience in AD where you fire something off into the domain and then realize you really didn't want that and want it back.
Right.
So the whole rollback mechanism of a policy rolls out and it's like, then the chaos starts and now you want to roll that policy back.
Exactly. It's usually not that you maybe people make mistakes, but I think what happens is that...
Unintended consequences.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just sort of going through and figuring out, well, we have a process for doing something correctly, mm-hmm. and boy howdy, wouldn't it be great to be able to just make sure that it's always documented all across the...
Well, and it's often very tough to do stuff like check, will the remote offices be able to deal with this policy change correctly? You know, that sometimes there's differences.
Yeah, that's another hidden part that a lot of people don't even know that there is inside the engine, this idea called modeling, mm-hmm. where you could figure out what happens when people change job roles or change computers right. or change OUs or groups. That's killer. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think as an IT person, it's really important to know all these people are moving to Pittsburgh. What's right. their expectation? What are they going to get?
Yeah, what will their desktop look after?
What
this?
Will it look like? Exactly. Yeah. And it's not a perfect world, this group policy modeling thing, right. but it is free. And it does work pretty well. So.
And it does give you some way to try it without actually doing it to some point.
Yeah,
soul.
What a pain in the neck that is. Yeah. Hey, Fred, I know you're in Pittsburgh. Do me a favor. Join this computer to the domain. I'm going to move it here. You do some... Oh, come on. What a pain in the neck that is.
But we've done it. Have yeah. you got someone yeah, in yeah. IM to say, hey, I want you to come in over here. Now try and log into this. Now go sign it to the other domain.
Yeah. Eventually you have to do that.
Yeah.
But you could also... You can craft the policies in advance.
Yeah.
Do modeling. Get it close to the... You know,
that looks like it isn't horrible.
Yeah,
let's
yeah.
go take it out for a spin.
Yeah, then you take it out for a spin yeah. as opposed to like...
You only have to ask Fred once.
One time. Yeah, or maybe twice.
If you get it right, then it works.
Yeah, then you're done. Then we can go get a beer. But yeah. until then.
It's very interesting. Any other tools to pull out? Just things for folks to think about when they're doing group policy problems?
Well, you know, this idea... the other thing that AGPM, the Microsoft AGPM tool mm-hmm. does and that I think is kind of neat is comparison. You can actually... compare you know, the live group policy object mm-hmm. to a previous one, right? So in other words, it's live because we know it's live.
Right.
But you at 3 a.m, you did this thing you shouldn't do. What did you do?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about from a history perspective. So we take that, and that's part of this expensive-ish tool for Microsoft. In fact, it's part of MDOP. MDOP is a thing that you can only buy as part of a suite of tools where it is one where AGPM is one tool as part of a suite of 5 or 6 tools. Those tools are, gosh, if I can remember all of them, it's AppV, this thing called DEM, which is an error monitoring thing. Remember the old SysInternals tools?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of MDOP now.
But they, and you have to pay for them?
Oh, yeah, you got to pay for that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a subscription service, no less. So you're an SA customer, software assurance customer.
Right.
Then you get the privilege of buying it.
Ah, okay. Lucky me.
Yeah, yes. The privilege, and then it's something like $10 or $12 per user per year mm-hmm. for the privilege of using it, and you get a ton of killer stuff. No doubt about
well,
it.
You should.
As we would say in Canada.
Which, right? Thanks for that.
Yes, no doubt about it. So so you get a ton of great stuff. One of these things is AGPM.
Okay.
So
you're basically talking about $1 per user per month there, you know, $10-$12 per person per year.
No, $10
per person,
per user, per month, year, per year.
Per year, yeah.
Oh, yeah well,
about $1 a month.
You did the math correctly. Yeah, okay. My brain refused
I'm
to do
Canada.
The math.
From Canada, we're
yes.
good at that.
Right. My math skills in particular are not good. So, remember I was at the bottom of my class?
Right, I heard that.
In terms of computer acumen.
I mean, I don't like picking up an annual charge for a right. piece of software that really I want to own.
So, with that in mind.
It's not extraordinarily expensive.
So going back to this GPO comparison mm-hmm. thing. Going back again to Darren's SDM software, he's got this thing called it's not the troubleshooting pack, but it's like the, killer pack or something
right.
like that. It's got two tools in it. One of them is this thing called GPO compare. Okay. So if you like the idea of saying what's live versus a backup, like what you would get in this big AGPM tool for Microsoft.
And so am I trying to compare the new policy I want to build to what's currently going?
No, like the current one. To a backup.
To the previous
or the current one.
One
to another live one. So a live to a live, or live to a backup, or a backup to a backup. So you can figure out like what's changed over time.
Right.
Now, you could do that if you have the big, bad, great, fantastic, expensive tool from part of MDOP for Microsoft.
Right. Or if you were doing religious logging of all these things,
that's
you'd
right.
have all of that.
Religious backups.
Yeah.
If you do just religious backups, you can pay like hardly anything and get this great tool that will let you right. do a comparison.
So there are ways to go and check to see what the changes were retroactively. I mean, if you're using the tool where you're properly checking all those changes in, you have that chronology.
That's
already.
Right. That's right. But if you don't have a tool like that.
Yeah. If you're coming in after the fact, there's been a whole bunch of policies applied over time, and now I want to go back and figure out what happened.
Yeah. You might have had backups for the last 5 years.
Right.
A lot of people do. They're, they're small, so there's no reason why not to. And then you could see, like, what changed here? What changed here? And you could use Darren's really inexpensive tool to make that magic happen. I know the tool is called GPO Compare, but it's part of a pack. pack of two tools. Just actually two tools. He might grow it or something.
And these things are largely just command line tools.
Actually, it's a GUI tool. It's sort of like you know, like to like Beyond Compare, like on the left you do this, and on the right you do this. So it's like Beyond Compare for group policy.
Cool.
And then he also has a PowerShell version of that tool too. Right. So.
Well, and when you're doing group policy, are you largely doing it all in PowerShell these days?
Me? Well, so that's the thing. So group policy and PowerShell have kind of this love-hate relationship. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, I got a buddy who's another MVP, and he's German, so it's fun to hear him say, "What? Why would you use PowerShell? You set it and forget it." You know, because it makes sense, right? Once you make the wish, once you make the group policy.
Why would you want to save the script?
Yeah. What's the automated part? Now, what he needs a little religion on, which is totally fine, is at the biggest of organizations, mm-hmm. you might have some incredible script like, I'm not saying you should do it like this, I'm just saying it's possible. Create a new user, PowerShell, drop it into an OU, PowerShell, join them to these groups, PowerShell, create a GPO and link it over because of this new condition that's occurred, mm-hmm. PowerShell, and then do some security stuff where only he has access to it, PowerShell.
Right.
See what I mean? So you could do everything end-to-end in PowerShell if you have some business process that really makes sense and you're doing it all the time.
Right. Every user is being shoved through that set of PowerShell rules.
Yes. If you've got a process and you've got a PowerShell process around that, I think there's probably some value there. But
most of the time with group policy, it's a one-off. You do it once, you won't do it again.
It depends. And again, it's for the bigger organizations. There's value there.
Right.
For smaller or one-off actions, here's the trick. In PowerShell and group policy, you can do everything you could do in the GPMC.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Create a GPO, link it, delete it, create reports, everything except one thing.
Hmm.
Yep. And this is where everyone's like, oh, God, what's the one thing?
What's the one thing?
You can't right-click and click edit in a group policy object and mess with the settings.
Okay.
Okay. Now, if you want to do that, Darren has some tools for that. Okay. I wish I was getting a kickback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell him Moskowitz. Just
said
wait,
nice
wait, things. Wait, wait, wait. When you talk to Darren, just say, use the keyword Moskowitz sent me, and we'll see what happens. Maybe I will get a kickback, but I doubt it. Anyway, you can't manipulate anything. Actually, there's one thing you can manipulate. You can manipulate group policy preferences registry settings and group policy registry settings. Mm-hmm. But it gets confusing, and it's probably a different topic for a different day. But if you wanted to configure things like kill the control panel and do this folder redirection stuff or these security stuff, you can't push the buttons inside using group policy.
Right.
PowerShell. You have to, like I said, Darren's tools.
You have to invoke it.
Yeah, it's just there's no way to do that with the stuff in the box. I would not be surprised if, you know, with all the stuff Microsoft is propelling, you know, Microsoft's got the propeller hat on for PowerShell. If maybe that will come soon to a theater near me, but I've never seen any hint that that's happening. I just think it would be interesting.
Jeremy, thanks for talking to us.
Always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
And we'll talk to you next week on Run As Radio.